Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Hello everyone. Now, when it comes to sustainability, as many of you know, it can be a real minefield, especially with greenwashing abounding in our industry. So today I'm really excited to be speaking to Tasha Nixon, Partnerships Manager at the Soil Association. We're talking about what actually makes a compelling sustainability story and why getting certification, like being Soil Association certified, matters more than ever. And we also look at the practical challenges, particularly small brands face when trying to do the right thing, because sustainability isn't cheap. The importance of being specific with your claims rather than just those generic vague terms, and also why the word natural doesn't necessarily mean what you think it does. So let's get into it. So Tasha, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Lovely to have you on as a guest and to get your perspective on the beauty industry as it relates to the Soil Association. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So from your perspective, what makes a compelling sustainability story when it comes to the beauty and wellbeing sector?
I think what's really compelling is tapping into what inspires the concept of the business to begin with. So keeping true to the story is really authentic, and that will be compelling to your customers. So there's a brand that comes to mind, Amina's Natural Skincare is one that we work with, who uses heritage ingredients from their home in Jordan. And I think that helps to engage with their customers.
And how is, what is the best way of communicating organic credentials in, if you're a brand, how can you make it feel sort of credible and relevant to the consumer?
I think you really need to explain what they mean. So we did a study that showed 84% of consumers say aspects of COSMOS certification is important to them when buying new beauty and wellbeing products, but they may not know that COSMOS certification covers these things like animal testing or sustainably sourced ingredients. So tell them why it's important and really explain what the benefits of your certifications are.
And obviously there are a lot of kind of mistakes that brands sort of tend to make when it comes to explaining their sustainable ethos. I mean, what are the main pitfalls in your experience do you see brands making?
I think it's being vague with your claims. So if you're not direct about what is sustainable or what is ethical, it can, they might make assumptions about things if you're not direct enough, and then they may be disappointed to find out that that isn't what they're what they assume to be true.
Definitely. And I think with certifications such as the Soil Association, it gives consumers that extra peace of mind, doesn't it? When they're reading about a brand's green credentials, I think having that kind of stamp of approval really makes all the difference. Do you think that this kind of certification is being used to its full potential at the moment by brands, especially when it comes to things like storytelling and marketing?
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think there are some brands that stand out to do this really well. So Syra Skin is an example. Syra, their owner, regularly promotes her brand on their Instagram account. And she really explains the benefits of certification and why it's important for customers to look for these logos when buying cosmetics.
And there's a lot of kind of, moving parts when it comes to sustainability, aren't there? And there's a lot of in-depth kind of information that I think brands feel like they have to go into when talking about their eco credentials. How do you think they can balance that kind of the technical side of explaining what sustainability is and how they practice it with the need to kind of have that kind of customer friendly, language and tone of voice?
Yeah, sure. It's definitely a balance of really explaining the benefits of the certification, but breaking it down in a way that's easy for consumers to understand. I think most people with beauty brands will be formulators, or even just owning a beauty brand leaves you with a lot of technical knowledge that your consumers might not have. So really breaking it down for what it means to the customer and how they benefit from these certifications is really important.
Yeah, and I think kind of explaining it on, sort of, you don't have to explain it all at once, do you? I think sort of having aspects of it sort of, maybe piecemeal fashion on social media or something like that, so it's a bit more digestible.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you agree? And are there any other examples of brands? I mean, I know you mentioned Cyrus that are kind of doing this particularly well at the moment.
Yeah, I think we work with so many really amazing brands, so it's hard to pick just one that stands out. But I think NatraCare is a really good example. Their owner, Susie, is a avid campaigner and eco warrior, and I think they explain their and champion their certifications really well. I think they also, what works well is they explain the need for the certification in their products. So you may have seen in the news recently that there's been tampons with extremely high pesticide residues on them. And so Susie and the company will explain how their various certifications will protect their consumers from these things.
And I guess with things like sustainability, now people just expect it, right? They sort of assume that it's part of a brand's DNA, especially when it comes to kind of new indie brands. So I guess what I'm saying is that brands kind of, they shouldn't be positioning it as if to say, like, well, aren't we great because we're sustainable? I mean, what advice would you give to brands who want to sort of communicate that without sort of, overstating it too much?
Yeah, I think overstating or vagueness is really what causes issues with your consumers, and you want to be able to build trust with them and say things that are true and evidence-based. So anything that's open to interpretation or leads to assumptions, again, it's just you need to be really clear and direct about what is ethical and what is sustainable about your business practice and your products.
And I think that there's something to be said for like visual storytelling as well. So kind of rather than having chunks of texts where you sort of explain all of your credentials, would you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that packaging, for example, is a great tool for storytelling. You can use more sustainable options like FSC certified card for something that's recyclable or glass for something that can be refilled. And I think that further enforces your brand's sustainability values without, like you say, tons of text to have to read through.
No, for sure. I mean, do you think there are any other kind of, or do you think there are any underused sort of consumer touch points where beauty and sort of well-being brands could be capitalizing on them a bit more when it comes to talking about their ethics?
Yeah, for me, it's all around ingredient sourcing because I find that really interesting. I think knowing where your natural ingredients are sourced from or if they're organic, how that organic farming process really impacts the ingredients is really compelling and engaging for consumers. And I don't really see it talked about as much as some of the other sustainability values.
No, definitely, because then, it's all very well saying it's a natural beauty brand, but then that has its own implications, doesn't it? Because natural doesn't always mean sustainable.
Natural isn't a regulated term in cosmetics, and so without a certification, any brand can say it's natural when it might not really be.
No, exactly. And do you think it's you're saying about like ingredients, do you think that's what consumers respond to the most when it comes to storytelling about sustainability credentials, or do you think it's a combination of things?
I really think it's a combination. We've done some research that shows 64% of people really care about animal testing and 47% really want natural ingredients. So I think it's a fairly even split between kind of the ethics and the sustainability. I mean, people just want to feel good about the purchases they're making across a combination of these factors.
And of course, like the Soil Association, it's really sort of come on leaps and bounds since it started, and it's very sort of well known and respected. I mean, in your words, how do you think like having that certification helps brands, particularly beauty brands, kind of stand out in the sort of beauty space when words like natural and clean are kind of bandied about quite often?
Yeah, and in the beauty space, particularly, unlike in things like food and drink industry, organic and natural, they're both words that are used to describe these products, but they're completely unregulated. So there's no legal protection for these words without the certification, which can lead to them holding very little value amongst all the greenwashing that's happening. So we have seen a number of products on the market claiming to be natural or organic when there's very little evidence against the ingredients that they have. So using the Soil Association and the Cosmos logos really builds trust with your customers, and helps cut through all the noise in such a ever-growing market.
And of course, there are brands that are kind of trying to be more sustainable, but might not have all the criteria for like Soil Association certification, for example. I mean, how would you advise them? Because they might be kind of saying, well, we're trying to be more sustainable, and we sort of use sustainable suppliers where possible, and we're doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, do you think that's kind of a good approach if you haven't got all of your sustainability credentials solidified as such yet?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're really honest and clear about what you are doing, and even if you're admitting what maybe isn't going so well and what your targets are to improve them, just communicating that journey with your customers, I think, is really compelling for them.
Definitely. And are there any kind of types of content or campaigns that you think educate consumers particularly well when it comes to things like what does certified organic mean and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, the big one for us is Organic September. It's a great campaign for the brands to join in with because there's already such a buzz for organics across the month. And then we have Organic Beauty and Wellbeing Week towards the end of the month. So we've seen some really successful collaborations with brands across beauty, clothing, and food sectors during Organic September. With organic, it goes all the way back to the farming methods and, keeping the soils healthy. So it's engaging consumers across multiple sectors as with the same messaging works really well during that month.
No, definitely. And I think there is a lot of storytelling opportunities when it comes to like what a brand is sort of doing behind the scenes that often the consumer doesn't often see. Do you think that brands can like lean on that more and kind of give consumers more of an insight into what's going on and all of the kind of sustainability methods that they're putting in place?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, take the customers behind the scenes with you, show them the ups and downs of your business, and how products are formulated. I think it's a really great way to engage with them that's really authentic.
I mean, there is the kind of issue with cost when it comes to sustainability, because obviously, with things like packaging and suppliers, they're not always the most cost-effective route. And when you're a small brand, I guess that's a huge concern. I mean, what's your take on that, and how do you think brands should approach that, in your opinion?
I think, yeah, especially for the smaller brands and the growing brands, it can be a cost issue to begin with. But I think, as I said, working on your journey towards your certification and explaining to your customers, where your goals are and what you're doing so far and what you're working towards is really interesting to see.
And do you think having sort of collaborations with creatives and influencers that can help kind of reinforce that message too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, during Organic September, I think a couple of years ago, we saw a great collaboration with a organic kidswear brand called Froogie, an organic food brand called Hero, and an organic drinks brand called Pip Organic, who partnered up with organic beauty brand Green People. So they had this collaboration partnership, which centered around Wear, Eat, Drink, Protect was the campaign, and it took a really holistic view of organic living and for families. And I think that working together across the sectors and even working with other beauty brands is a really great way to help grow your reach and also have that kind of collaborative teamwork approach.
No, definitely. And how do you find like the beauty industry? Because I know that the Soil Association, you work across a lot of different sectors. I mean, how do you think the beauty industry is doing compared to things like food and other sectors that you work with?
Beauty is actually really strong at the moment. We saw the organic market grow 11% last year, and the total organic market grew 8%. So it was outperforming total organic market as a really established sector.
And do you think there are any kind of missed opportunities in how organic beauty brands tell their story today?
I think, controversially, that relying too heavily on your certification alone is a missed opportunity. The products still have to be really great, and the messaging will get lost if the products aren't any good. So great products lead to brand loyalty, which is then where you can tell your story and explain your certifications to customers that are already loving the product.
Yeah, do you think brands maybe like sometimes start out with a mission that they're going to be organic, but then take their eye off the ball when it comes to where the product is concerned and if the product's actually any good.
I think there is a risk of that. Yeah, definitely.
And are there any other ways that you as an organization kind of support the brands that you work with to help them kind of communicate that certification, sort of like touching on what you just said?
Yeah, exactly. So my role is partnerships manager here, which means that I support our brands in beauty and well-being and also in textiles. So helping them communicate their certification, whether that's through key messaging or engaging with our campaigns like Organic September that I mentioned, or we sometimes invite them for panels and events. So at the moment, we're working with Cosmos to create some marketing materials that will really help communicate the key messaging for certification for these brands. And we recently worked with we have a team of beauty ambassadors that do some great work for us. And in Small Business May, they worked with some of our smallest certified brands to kind of spotlight them, and help them grow their reach, on our social media pages and on our Instagram.
Amazing. So it doesn't stop with the certification then. You're kind of supporting them at every sort of step of the journey as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always happy to hear new ways I can help businesses, what would be most useful to them.
And what kind of trends are you seeing when it comes to sustainability and well-being? Like, what kind of brand narratives are consumers being drawn to at the moment?
I think the biggest trend at the moment is health. It's been such a huge trend since the pandemic. We're seeing more research into skin microbiomes and how different chemicals can affect your skin microbiome. So this is actually the theme of Organic September campaign this year. So it'll be interesting to see if there are any new studies that are upcoming. I think people just want to live well and eat well and sleep well, and this health does
For
cross
sure.
multiple sectors.
And is there anything that you're particularly excited about at the moment in the world of kind of sustainability, particularly in beauty?
I think there's some really interesting ingredients coming through, and how people are explaining the effectiveness of these ingredients and how they compare to kind of more chemical-based ingredients as a natural alternative is really interesting to me.
And how do brands kind of differentiate themselves? I know there's the certification. But yes, are there any other ways that they can make sure that consumers understand that their credentials are authentic when, like we say, there's so much sort of greenwashing that goes on?
Yeah, I mean, I would say don't use the word sustainable. If you can't explain what it means, you have to say, where your ingredients are sourced from might be what makes your product sustainable, or who's making the product might help explain how it's ethical. And yeah, these can be used to tell the story of your brand without these like generic buzzwords.
No, for sure. And I know you mentioned earlier that there's not really any legal definition for things like natural and organic. Do you see that changing anytime soon?
Yeah, I think there's lots of legislation coming through, either from the EU or even in the UK, that's going to help protect consumers really from misleading claims within the market. So that could be from the CMA or it could be from the Green Claims Code. But yeah, we'd really like to see that kind of enforcement to help the businesses that are truly sustainable or organic to really stand out.
And what kinds of businesses do you work with normally? Is it mainly just startup brands and indie brands, or do you work with would you say like brands at any stage of the business at any size could benefit from the certification?
Yeah, we work with such a vast number of businesses and range of businesses. We work from ingredient suppliers through to formulators and manufacturers, and all the way through to, like you say, brands. They could be startups, people who make soaps in their kitchens, all the way through to big brands like Neal's Yard or Pye Skincare. So it's really lovely to be able to meet all these different types of people and businesses.
I mean, it's obviously more difficult for a bigger corporation to sort of suddenly adopt a more sustainable ethos if it isn't part of their brand DNA to begin with. Would you agree?
I think it can be, but I think what often we see with the bigger brands that come in is they start with one or two products and then they see that they're able to say so many great things about it with the certification that it spreads throughout their collections.
I mean, I think there's an argument that people should just consume less, that it isn't about, well, this we've launched this range and it's organic or it's recyclable, but maybe we should all just be consuming less stuff. I mean, what's your take on that?
No, I agree. I think less but better is always the best approach. So, like you say, sometimes the certified products may be more expensive, but if you're investing in one product rather than buying multiple trending products throughout your year, then you're purchasing better and you're supporting healthier planets and better business.
And then just looking ahead, like what trends do you see sort of shaping the future of sustainability and being kinder to the planet? And where does sort of brand story fit into all that, in your opinion?
I think in the beauty space, we're seeing a lot of kind of younger generations being targeted with beauty products, which is interesting when we're also seeing that it's a lot of younger people that and small families that are buying into organic. So I'll be interested to see how these kind of trending companies and ones looking at those younger consumers incorporate their organic messaging into that.
Definitely. Well, Tasha, thank you so much for joining me today. A lot of really useful insights there that I think a lot of brands will benefit from. And I'll include the relevant links in the show notes if people want to find out more about Soil Association and how to get certified. So thank you so much for joining me.
See you soon.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.